Welcome to the 54th Monkey on My Back podcast. Contact us at momcast@gmail.com and leave comments, questions, and submissions. Tonight on the pod, Nick fails to pick up on a spotlight left from last week, and Jane and James snuffle and snort through some spinning orders, and we also have some contributions from some very nice people who sensed our desperation. Momcast, the comic book podcast that needs more than just a drop of night nurse. Around Southampton tonight are...
Hello, I'm Jane.
Hello, I'm James.
And hello, I'm Nick. We should warn the listeners right now that at various points throughout the podcast there probably will be loud coughing.
Yes.
And exploding wetness.
Yes.
No. Just coughing.
Is there really any need to ask you guys what you've been doing this week? I think it's quite obvious, isn't it?
Sleeping has become my new best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. And soup as well.
Soup?
Yep. Soup and sleeping.
Soup and seeping?
No, sleeping.
Oh, well, I was going to... Actually, the first thing I was going to do was apologise to Jane for a couple of things I said in last week's podcast, but she hasn't listened to it yet.
But you can apologise anyway.
No, I figure I'll get away with it. You'll never know.
You won't get away with it because I'm going to listen to it this weekend.
I'm very sorry about anything awful I might have said about you. I've actually been off sick a little bit this week, but I don't think I've been nearly as bad as you guys. To be honest.
No.
James hasn't said anything.
Sorry, I fell asleep. I've not been very well.
Oh.
The worst of it is I think I passed it on to my wife and my baby.
They probably passed it on to you.
I think it was Plague Girl.
It was me. Yeah. Oh, I passed it on to my boyfriend and most of my office.
You shouldn't be kissing all of them.
I know. I can't help it. They're all so gorgeous.
Yeah, that is true. We are all gorgeous. Especially me.
No.
Yes.
You got it by default. I just coughed in your face by accident.
Yes. Yeah, it was a cough of disdain.
I was a little bit ill earlier in the week. Like I said, there wasn't all that much coughing. There's lots of headache. And I don't know if you saw on Twitter today, I've had a bad neck all day, and I'm not sure what that's all about.
So good.
And also, I've been shopping for, like, proper middle-class married shopping for...
Oh, I saw that.
For crockery. Oh. For, what was it? It was a choice between, what's the crockery that Amy wanted to buy?
I can't remember.
It's famous.
Began with D, didn't it?
Delft.
Denby.
Yeah.
Denby, but I managed Delft. To talk it down. What's Delft?
I don't know.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah. Oh, dear. She doesn't sound well.
I'm no. okay.
I think the 52nd podcast was the point, the cusp. We're now, it's like 2012 for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Everything's going wrong. It's terrible. But we are scattered all over town, which is quite interesting and all a bit abstract.
Yeah.
Do you know something occurred to me listening back to last week's, right? You know, if Arthur C. Clarke was such a visionary,
yeah,
right, why was 2010 called 2010 up until the point where you pointed out quite rightly without knowing it that we actually call it 2010?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If he was such a visionary, why didn't he work that out when he wrote it?
Well, didn't he just write the numbers?
Yeah, but I heard him talking about it. He's going, I've written this 2001, I've written this 2010, and now I'm off to the Far East to walk around in a sarong with worryingly looking young women well, surrounding me.
But it's possible that we're just lazy. The way we talk is maybe just a bit lazy. Maybe that's it.
You certainly confused the crap out of me last week.
I looking at Twitter, did you see what David, our lovely David, our listener said?
I've been off the grid. I haven't seen anything, man.
He said it was the funniest one he'd heard so far, but he couldn't wait for Jane to come
yeah.
back. because it sounded like we were casting about a little bit and a bit lost. He doesn't realise it was all deliberate, that we'd scripted it all, James.
Really?
From the beginning.
That took
like
us hours.
It's like we are that skilled and we amazing. But
I can already see something that's going to work against us, all of us talking on Skype.
What?
And that's the ability to send typed messages to each other while we're recording it.
I can't do that, though, because, listen, this is what happens when I type something. Oh, you two are typing stuff to each other.
Yeah.
I'm not. I asked a question, and then James gave me abuse.
Jane really swears on Skype. She's not really rude, listener.
It's not me. It's not my name.
That's not your name. The interesting thing about not being anywhere near you guys is we discussed this a little bit before. Jane's sitting there in just her Batman pants. Batwoman pants, sorry. By dint of the fact that they've got the bat symbol on and she's a lady. James, as I understand it, you're naked, which isn't that unusual.
No. I've decided to come in costume today. I'm dressed as the sexy stud from Kevin Smith's film Clerks 2.
Okay.
I haven't seen that film, so can only imagine.
I'm going to spit on my hand in a minute.
Well, I was going to. This is only actually the third time that I'll have masturbated during one of our podcasts.
They're not bat women. They're bat girl pants.
Are you actually wearing them?
I'm dressed.
And
I'm bullet. Is that underwear right? Counts as dressed.
Is that right that pictures of those will be the extra on our Mumcast app available from the iTunes App Store?
Yeah. If someone wants a picture of me in my Batgirl pants, they can have it.
You've got to do that now. You've actually made a promise on the pod. That was very foolish.
It's not foolish.
Well, it can be a picture of her face. You know, you don't actually have to see the pants. She can just say she's in them. The other weird thing is where we can't see each other's faces, we say horrible things about each other all the time, but normally we can tell when we're joking. But now we don't have that. It's a little bit... I can sense you both looking at me in disdain as I'm talking.
Yes.
Which is not actually dissimilar to the normal podcasts at all. The weird thing is I managed to make it down to the comic shop, but I'm the only one who doesn't have a very, very vaguely recent comic to talk about.
Mm.
James, you got comics today. How did you get comics?
My wife very kindly went out got comics for me. She was
even
also
she's as ill as you are.
She's not. No, she's in the early days of it. I suspect tomorrow will be the really bad day for her. She was also doing other shopping as well, though.
Yeah, what other shopping was she doing? I care?
She went to the popular department store Debenhams.
Oh, that's where we're trying to get our stuff from.
Oh.
Do you know that if you've got multiple gift cards, you can't use them online at Debenhams?
Really? That's fascinating as well.
Well, it's useless is what it is. Anyone who's getting married, just bear that in mind. You'll have to go into the store with the gift cards. James, hurry up. you were talking about Nicola going to the shop for you and then you trailed off.
That's
right. I was filling for you.
She went to the shop and she bought me some very nice comics. She also bought me a lovely hardback book, the second volume of Richard Starks Parker, I think it was. Actually, if you bear with me just a second, I don't have to stretch far enough for me to be able to get it off my bookshelf. Oh, it does. That's convenient.
Excellent.
That's very useful.
You both in headsets?
Yeah, Richard Stark.
Oh.
Richard
no,
Stark.
But...
Shut up.
Shut up. Nick asked me a question.
It's Richard Stark's Parker the Outfit, which is book two, apparently.
That's a follow-on to the big thin volume I got.
That's
it?
Right, yeah. But it was very kindly put in my standing order by James, I suspect, who puts our standing orders together, and Nicola didn't know that I hadn't necessarily asked for it, so I totally scored a hardback book that I wouldn't have otherwise got, so that's a bit of a win, really.
Yeah, I didn't think you were getting those.
No, I'm not, but it's lovely. and it looks really nice, so I'm going to enjoy it, really. I'm going to make hay while the sun shines.
The preview was lovely. I really like the preview. I saw that on the shelf. There was nothing. There were a few nice graphics in today, but there was no comic-y goodness for me at all.
There was some ace stuff out for me.
What did you get? So what do you want to talk about?
I'm going to talk about something that finished up this week, but I also got Chew and Detective Comics and Gotham City Sirens, I think, as well, which is a bonus. So there wasn't much, but I did get a bit. But this week was the final issue of Frankencastle.
Oh, yeah. The actual final issue, because we thought it was finishing a couple of times before.
No, that's right. No, this is the final issue of Frankencastle. Obviously, Rick Remender writes, Dan Berreton is the artist. And this essentially puts an end to the Frankencastle storyline and essentially reboots Frank, ready to go back into the mainstream Marvel universe.
Yeah, that bad boy.
It's a pretty cool survival tale, I guess, is what you'd best call it. But the art is absolutely outstanding. But then the art all the way through Frankencastle's been really lovely. It's sort of changed up a fair amount, but... It's got a lovely sort of almost painted quality to it. It's really quite gorgeous, and I don't think Berreton has done the art the whole way through the run. So
yeah, no, he hasn't. I think it's been a two or three different. It started with Tony Moore.
I was going to say Tony Moore definitely did it.
No, Tony Moore.
Pretty sure it's Moore. Yeah.
Yeah, he did the early Walking Dead. I think that's his surname anyway. And then he wears a big cowboy hat. I know that about him.
That's always good.
And then I'm not sure who did it in the middle, but Dan Brereton's art's really, really pretty. Always painted, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely beautiful, and it does a really nice, tidy job of rebooting and retconning him back into the mainstream universe. I've really enjoyed Frankencastle. It's been a really amusing, offbeat book for the last 21 months or so. I think it had some detractors to start with, but it's been one of the outstanding... I don't pick up quite as many Marvel books as a lot of people I follow on Twitter, and certainly I think you pick up more Marvel books than I do. It's been one of the ones, and I've dropped a few recently, but it's been one of the ones I look forward to most each month. I'm kind of disappointed to see it end. I think it had a little bit more mileage in it.
I think it seemed like a really brave idea at the time, and I guess it ran for how long? What, 12...
21
issues.
21 books. Actually, no. Frankencastle probably ran for about a dozen of those, didn't it? Because it was just it was the Punisher beforehand.
But how long's he been Frankencastle? I think it didn't get renamed.
No, I think it is about a dozen books.
Yeah. So in retrospect, I mean, that's a year without without the main Punisher, main Frankencastle being in that universe, but. And so it doesn't seem as brave from this end of it.
Sure.
But yeah, certainly going in, it was like 12 months and he really was dead.
That's right.
What was that?
What was that?
Was that me clearing my throat?
Is that what it was?
So I'm having to do it. I've got quite a lot of snot going on here.
It sounded like a wormhole.
It is a wormhole and I've fallen in it.
In your room.
I've got a black hole and I've just cleared it.
Are you calling us from the pod? Actually, thinking about it, we haven't been in there in ages.
He does sound like he's in the pod.
I am in the pod.
It's very. It does wonders for your voice. You sound very deep and booming.
Thank you.
I like it.
I am deep and booming.
But so Frankencastle sounds like it was awesome. An awesome finish. Were you satisfied? You said it. Were you satisfied with it, didn't you?
Sorry?
You said you were satisfied with it, didn't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was. It's been really good fun. At times, very silly. But I think there were some interesting character pieces with Frank as well. Sort of, I think it explored the character in ways that possibly haven't been done before. I think, much as I love the Punisher, he can get a little bit one note if you're not careful. You know, I'm a brooding dude. I'm going to kill this person because he's done something awful. Whereas, you know, it caused him to confront, you know, such emotions as gratitude and confront things like loyalty as well. So. It was, really, really enjoyable and really interesting take on an iconic character.
Plus, there was, like, Monster Island and stuff.
Yeah, that didn't hurt as well, to be honest with you.
Which is nice.
Batshit monster fights and so forth. It's been potty. It's been a little bit of everything for those who like those kind of things.
Yeah, I think we do.
I do.
I certainly do. What is that noise? Can you hear that? It sounds like there's a wasp stuck somewhere.
Is it a telephone? Has one of us got our telephones on?
It might be. Jane has been sending us stuff round. It's not really... We weren't going to talk about it till later, but Jane's been sending us pictures because somebody got us a present.
Yeah.
Mm.
What did we get, Jane?
We got a present from Matt. And, ooh, yeah, it was a really interesting present too. It was... hang on one second.
That's Matt Duarte.
Yes.
From...
From the Weekly Crisis.
The Weekly Crisis, that's right.
He's
been in the UK this week, I know.
Yes. He got us typesetting letters that were used for composing books and newspapers when they were printed back in the 40s and 50s.
Ooh.
And we've all got one of our names, and there's a Momcast one as well.
Yay.
That's awesome. And we've all seen pics of them. They're quite cool.
They are very cool.
Thank you, Matt. That's really nice of you, dude.
That is. It's super generous.
Mm.
Thank you. We just need ink pads, and then we can stamp our names on each other.
Yeah. Because what we really need is something that we can assault each other with while we're recording the podcast.
Well, I think Matt's suggestion was we can use them as knuckle dusters, so when we punch each other, we can imprint our names on each other. So
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. I hadn't thought that. Something we completely failed to do that we were going to do this week, going back very, very briefly to our weeks, we failed to sort out our tickets and stuff for Thought Bubble.
Oh, that's my fault.
We need to sort that shit out.
Jane's already on the hotel, though, aren't you, Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just try and convince her she's already done it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's all going to go swimmingly. We're not going to turn up there and nothing's going to be done.
I'll be fine. Don't tell him, but I'm staying with David.
Ah, excellent. Hang on, I thought I was staying with David.
You're all staying with David.
High fives.
High fives. Clap. That was me doing the sound effect.
That's very good.
Did you get anything else you wanted to talk about, James?
Nothing in particular. As I said, I picked up Chew, which I haven't had a chance to look through. And I got the latest issue of Detective Comics, which has been really curious. I haven't really had a proper read of it. But it's been a really curious story. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
No.
I didn't notice it, actually.
It's about a bunch of, what do they call them? It's basically the imposters, it's called. So imposter Batman and imposter Jokers are taking over Gotham at the moment. It's got really strange and unusual art style, which is very, I was going to say very comic-y, but that sounds really stupid.
But who's doing the art, is it?
It's Scott McDaniel.
Oh, right, okay, so he's done Batman before.
Yeah,
he?
Definitely, it's really vivid stuff. It's it's almost like a throwback story in the style of it, you know, sort of stuff that I read in the 80s, to be honest. But it's been okay, but I still say it feels a little bit like a title that's waiting for a bit of direction. But it's been a diverting enough story.
When does this arc finish?
I think it must be in the next... this arc finishes, it concludes in the next issue. I kind of assume, I don't know because I've not been very good at picking up the solicits or checking the solicits, but I assume after 870, which is the next issue, either it'll be a Grant Morrison-penned one, the top off the Return of Bruce Wayne, or Schneider and Jock's run starts.
I think it might be Schneider and Jock's run. I know they've been talking a lot about it recently, but I think they might be the next ones on it.
Yeah, they're definitely the next to be doing a run.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That is quite exciting.
Yeah.
I haven't been reading American Vampire all that much. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
The Snyder's book?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do really like Jock's work. Actually, lots and lots and lots. What have you, Jane, before you talk about your comic that you wanted to talk about, I just wanted to mention that I saw a solicits for a book that you might quite... Not solicits, preview for a book that you might quite like by Top Cow called Artifacts, which is kind of tying together a bunch of the different weird mythology characters that they've got in the Top Cow universe. But you've liked the Darkness and Witchblade and stuff, but you've always quite liked... You seem to have quite liked all of the pilot episode ones you've read.
I think Witchblade I haven't really got on it, didn't really get into. I had a flick through it, but the top... the Top Cow Pilot ones that I've really enjoyed have been really good. So yeah, I've seen bits of it coming up, going around about artifacts, and I've been sort of interested. But now you've mentioned it, I think this could be something I'll like. So a lot of good reviews about it as well. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know whether what people are saying about it is that it's good. It's good comic full stop, or that it's good for Top Cow, because they've had a bad reputation for the TNA stuff in
the
past.
Yes, no, I understand. It could be either, but I'll have to have a look when I'm next in FP and see what I think. But I think overall it's been quite positive reviews as a story and not just good for Top Cow. So hopefully that will be something I can pick up soon, because I've got gaps in my list. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks really pretty. It does look really. The previews are gorgeous, aren't they?
Read a couple of them. I've seen a few bits of it, yeah, so it looks good.
What did you want to talk about? You had comics from last week, was it?
It's where I've been ill. I've been lounging around and not really much I can do apart from read comics. And I picked up some comics that aren't mine. I've borrowed them from somebody called The Light. From my technical helper, my servant.
Okay.
And
do you want to do you want to say who that is, just to give them credit where it's due?
His name is Jane's boyfriend.
Thank you, Jane's boyfriend. That's very nice of you.
Don't put her on the spot like that. She wants to keep some semblance. It's not fame. This fame that we have found, James, it's not for everyone. Okay.
To be honest with you,
I have to respect her privacy.
I'm taking advantage of the fact that I'm not within punching distance.
Oh, yeah. But Jane's boyfriend's within hearing distance, so
we're not broadcasting live, Jane.
No, I know.
He can only hear your side of the conversation.
Yes, which is going to make it all the more odd. yeah, so he's been picking up The Light, which I missed. I think I missed the first couple of issues, and then was picking, flicking through in the comic shop and sort of kicking myself for not picking up and waiting out the trade, which is due out in December. But being ill today and having no new comics, and so I thought, well, I'll give this a read. It's by Nathan Edmondson and Brett Wadelli, I think it is. I'm not entirely sure that's how you pronounce his name, but he is not offended if people don't pronounce his name correctly.
I found that out.
It's a very odd comic. The artwork's amazing for the story, but it's basically about a guy called Coyle, who's an alcoholic and keeps losing his job. There is literally about 3 or 4 pages with him and his relationship with his daughter Avery and his mother. Very, very small snippets of, you know, sort of background to these characters, and then it jumps straight into the main story where a light is sort of overtaking the town that they live in. It's very strange. He sort of wakes up in the middle of the night and hears somebody, you know, it's on a day he's lost his job, he's in a bad mood, so he goes to bed, wakes up in the middle of the night and hears someone shouting out, "Help, help, help," goes outside, and it's one of his sort of friends or ex-colleagues. Mm-hmm. And he's got this light coming out of his eyes and his mouth, and then he sort of burns in front of him. It's so fast-paced. As soon as that scene happens, that's it. Coyle's got his daughter. Unfortunately, his grandmother succumbs to the light. He's got his daughter, and they're on the run. They are escaping the light. And it's it's only five issues, and it looks like it's just a contained story. There's not going to be any more. I think if they did any more, it would ruin how it ended. Mm-hmm. But and they can't look in the light, so they've got to wear goggles, and Avery, his daughter, spends most of the time blindfolded, so he's guiding her. It's fast-spreading. It seems to be coming through the power, so any lights that are on the TV and things like this that discover that it's the light will overtake you, and that's when you burn. They also learn there's different types of burning. You don't just burn straight away. It can take longer, and you can infect people. They meet up with two survivors called Simon and his brother Johnny, and they seem to be very adaptable survivors as well, and they've got shotguns and things like that. Well, it makes me laugh in these survivor stories. They always end up to have a shotgun with them. But they sort of they hook up with Coyle and Avery, and Avery is very desperate to go and find her mother, who lives in Portland, to see if they're okay. And while this is
Oregon.
Going on,
or Dorset.
Oregon.
I think it must be Oregon.
Yeah. It's set in America, by the way.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. And they sort of decide to stick together, but they're also talking about how they can stop this spreading. So they're talking about sort of taking out the main power lines and things like that. So it's just incredibly fast paced. There's really not much dialogue throughout the whole story. Every panel seems not rushed, but you can sense how urgent and how quickly the story's going, which is brilliant. It's like it's like a lot of things it reminded me of. I just really liked how there wasn't tons of annoying, let's find out all about these characters at the beginning, and then this sort of slowly develops and then it happens. It was a out and out apocalyptic story where something very bad has happened. It happens very quickly, and you kind of get the reality of if it did happen, that's how it would happen. It would be so quickly you wouldn't have time but to react, you know. It was nice that we didn't need to get so engrossed in the characters. You didn't need to know that much apart from what you find out in the first couple of pages to sort of get a feel for the characters, and then you see the development of the two main characters as the story goes on. Obviously, I won't explain what happens at the end, but it ends extremely well, and I was quite surprised at how much I enjoyed this. The artwork, Brett's artwork, is astonishing in this story. Most of it, as you can imagine, is set in the dark, but then obviously where the people are burning, things like that, the way the body lights up and things, it's so amazing. It's phenomenal. It's really excellent way of sort of pictating how an apocalypse would work in the dark with this sort of bright lights of people and things like that. So it's not very clean art either. It's very, the colours of...
I'm assuming that was James. Yeah. It didn't sound like a lady cough.
Are you okay, James? Okay.
I'm fine. I thought I'd taken steps to cover my microphone when I did that. Obviously came through quite loud at your end. I apologise.
It sounded like you'd fallen over.
The best thing about that is that we heard the noise of you covering the microphone and then had to cough anyway.
I might have fallen.
Sorry, what were you saying, Jane?
I was just saying the colours in the story just seem to bleed out everywhere. It's not clean and crisp, because it's not a clean and crisp story. It works so brilliantly. I can't really do it justice, but very surprised at how much you enjoyed it. It's only 5 issues. The hub trade paperback's coming out. I think it's a paperback or hardback. It's coming out in December. I don't know how much it's going to be. I can't imagine it'll be very much. Pick it up. It's just seriously good. So, yeah, that's me.
That does sound good. I want to borrow that off your helper now, I think.
Yes. Well, I'll be buying the trade when it comes out, so you can borrow it from me.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's cool.
Good.
That was it. That's what the main thing you wanted to talk about, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't pick up anything new. Oh, God, there's going to be a lot of comics waiting for me, I think, when I go to the comic shop next. Yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about.
Have you set up a standing order now, then?
Yeah.
You haven't, have you? You still haven't done it. I can't believe you. You're going to your collection's going to have a big month-long gap in it.
No, it's not, because I have found a good source, a good website that has back issues for me.
Really?
Oh, excellent.
Do you want to share the link, the URL with us?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.
That'd be good. So, Nick, how are you?
I'm good. I'm quite good. I'm okay. My neck hurts a bit.
Do you think it's the way you slept?
It might be the way I slept.
Did you have a window open?
I don't think we had a window open. We might have had a window open.
Did Amy have a handheld fan that every time you fell asleep she was blowing at your neck?
Possibly. We had a little bit of a tiff before.
There you go. She might have done that. That might have been a really elaborate way of giving you a bad neck in the morning. Some sort of payback for you.
Wives are mean and devious, aren't they?
They are devious. They're not to be trusted.
They're more mean and devious than girlfriends, that's for dang sure.
Yeah, they make you food and buy you comics. That's not mean and devious.
They are quite nice.
Well, they buy you comics.
We had a Chinese takeaway today on the way home.
Oh, do you want to know about this back issue website?
Yes. Hit us.
It's twotonecomics.com, number two, and then tonecomics.com.
So the number yes. two, then tone.com.
tonecomics.com. tonecomics.com.
I'm going there now.
They are, I think their website's under construction at the moment because they're backfilling thousands and thousands of comics on there, but I have picked up a couple of back issues of things in the past, and they're really good, really quick. And they're on eBay as well. That's where I first found them. So, and yeah, delivery's free. They're very good service. So anything I miss, I'm going to be relying on them to have.
Excellent.
And that's a funky little site they've got as well. I like this.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm the only one not looking at it.
I'm not looking at it. I've seen it.
I only really picked up, even though I did go to the shop today, there was nothing for me there. But I picked up 2080 this week. I'm really enjoying this. There was the final part of the Judge Dredd story. Now, this is one thing I remember, and James might be able to bear me out on this, that I remember from reading 2000 AD before. One problem you sometimes have with the shorter stories, especially the Dredd ones, is that you get a really nice build-up of steam, but then they have to finish it all really quickly. And that kind of carries through to this story, the Skinner story. It feels like it's all over all of a sudden, but it's kind of good. I assume it's my turn. Sorry, just kind of blurted on. For the first time, Defoe actually confused the hell out of me. But that's possibly because I was reading it like on my lunch break and wasn't really concentrating. I'm really still enjoying Age of the Wolf. Actually, on that, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Sorry, before you go, Defoe is quite hard to follow.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters in there.
Yeah.
The art's beautiful, but there's a lot of characters and some of them obviously have issues with each other that it's sometimes difficult to keep track of over the week gap.
Uh-huh.
If you see what I mean. Yeah. So there's rivalries and stuff there. Age of the Wolf is still really pretty, although I'm not sure if I'm a little bit disappointed because it's gone from being a straight-up horrible werewolf, like violent werewolf story, like werewolves mixed with 28 Days Later, to having all of these quite mythological elements to it. Which really it's going to depend on how it all pans out. There's lots of kind of pagan-esque mythology going on there, and it all depends on how that's going to pan out. I'm loving Low Life by Rob Williams and Disraeli.
That's brilliant, and it looks brilliant as well, doesn't it? I love Rob Williams' writing in 2018.
Yeah, and Disraeli's art's just beautiful. It's really, really nice. And he manages to have possibly the most violent story in here, and yet that it's never gratuitous, which is really cool. And Niccolò Dante, it looks beautiful, but it's kind of Niccolò Dante. I didn't think I'd ever get used to it as a story because I didn't really like it loads to begin with, but it's kind of nice to have it there, even though I wouldn't say that it's one of my favourites. I don't know if that creaking noise is picking up on the microphone.
It is.
I can hear it, sorry,
that's my chair, listener. And you guys. I feel normally I don't feel I need to apologise to you, but because you're not here, I kind of feel like I do need to.
Do you feel lonely?
It is a bit weird.
Mm. It is weird, isn't it?
I like having you guys over here.
Yeah, in the monkey house.
Yeah, the monkey house. With the pissing puppies. a couple of older things I read that I happen to have knocking around. I picked up the Little Black Noir graphic novel that I think you guys might have seen in Forbidden Planet, you know, on the crime graphic novel shelf. It's literally just a black cover of white writing. I picked that up a couple of weeks ago and I finally read all of that, and it's got some lovely stories in there. There's like a one-part really short stray bullet story by David Lapham, which is lovely. There's a Jeff Lemire story in there, which is really nice. A Dean Motta story. These are the ones that really stood out to me. There's a Paul Grist story featuring Kane, which is one of his characters. And Paul Grist's, I don't know if you've seen, he did some of the Torchwood comics I've read. He's got a really sort of angular style and it's really nice. There's a really nice story by Brian Azzarello, written by Brian Azzarello with art by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Barr, which is which is basically an alternate look at a very famous noir origin. I can't really say much more without giving it away. There's also a very short story, a very short criminal story by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, which is beautiful.
Cool.
I know you're reading Criminal, aren't you, James?
I am too. I'm picking up in trade.
Yeah, same here.
I think Jane's reading it more than I am then.
Oh, right, okay. I had seen this story somewhere before. I actually think it was released as a preview for this book, thinking about it. But it's $12.95. Now, I'm not sure how much that works out, as I think it was about £8 on Amazon, and it's well worth it. For a slice of noir.
Yeah.
A long while ago, I think about 6 months ago, I picked up one of Marvel's odd reprint, foreign language reprint books called Sky Doll, because it had an absolutely beautiful cover. And then I tried to read it. They're reprinting stuff from a publisher called Soleil, S-O-L-E-I-L. That's how you pronounce that, I think. And it's all short stories featuring this character called Sky Doll. Now, at the time I bought it, who I think is created by a person called Alessandro Barbucci and another person called Barbara Canepa. I tried reading it back then and found it incomprehensible because I didn't understand. I bought it because it had a pretty cover, and I didn't understand what the driving force behind it was. I thought it was going to be all about one character, and then it didn't look like it was. But it turns out it actually is. I think this character's been running for years and years and years in France, and basically this is just picking out a few short stories about this character called Sky Doll.
Cool.
And it's just got some gorgeous artwork by like a variety of European artists and writers. The names probably won't mean very much to you, but my guess is, it's possibly a little bit unkind, but my guess is that you would be able to find this on possibly still on the shelves and maybe a bit cheap in some of your stores, because I'd be surprised if it sold really, really well, even though it's gorgeous. So go look for Marvel's reprints of Sky Doll. That's only a two-part. They only did like two issues of it, and it was lovely. And the other thing I read, which ties into what Jane was saying about Detective Comics, you can probably hear me picking it up off the desk there. I mentioned the other week that I picked up a bunch of 2000 AD graphic novels from Mongoose.
Yes. Oh, wow.
From Mongoose Publishing. It was like something like 11 books for £30 or something. It was brilliant. One of those books was Mega City Undercover, and the main reason I picked it up was because I thought it might tie in a little bit to the Low Life series running in 2000 AD. It's basically about the, I think it was the first series really focusing on the undercover judges in Megacity. I haven't read the whole thing, but the first two stories in it are basically, it's basically collecting the first two Lenny Zero stories, which I might be wrong, but I think were Andy Diggle and Jock's first published work. Certainly their first published work on a 2000 AD book. I think they were in the magazine, and they're just lovely. Jock's artwork is a little bit more detailed than it is now. Obviously his stuff's really expressionistic now, but still has his sort of brilliant flair for sort of composition and movement and action and stuff. It's a really nice, tight story by Andy Diggle. It's kind of weird because over the years we've seen pretty much every different sort of Megacity story. So I'm sure I've seen a noir Megacity story before, but these ones, and considering I think there's only about 10 or 15 story pages altogether there, these ones were just great. Just really, really good. I don't know if you were familiar with them. It might have been in the period that you weren't really reading.
No, it was, yeah, it was during the dark times.
Certainly I hadn't read them before, and they are just lovely. I haven't read the rest of the book yet, but the rest of the book has stories written by Rob Williams, I guess more by Andy Diggle, and it's got art by Henry Flint and Simon Colby, both of whom are still working, like they're still quite popular in 2000 AD, and I think Simon Colby might be starting to appear in the US. So Get over to the Mongoose site and pick that up, or pick it up from Amazon. It's lovely. It's got a beautiful jock cover as well. Just absolutely gorgeous. He should be very proud of that.
Aww. Lovely.
Because we weren't entirely sure how this was going to go, I kind of begged people earlier on Twitter to send us stuff, because there was a point at which it looked like only two of us were going to be doing it, and then there was a point when it looked like it was just going to be me sitting here. So in the first instance, what I think I'll do is I shall play you guys. David Wynne sent us something, and Max Barnard sent us something as well. There's another two pieces that we'll listen to later. And what we'll do is I'll play those now, and then we'll come back and sound like we've actually listened to them.
Okay.
So should we do that now?
Yeah.
All right. Hello. It's me, Dave. David Wynne, your listener. Because you asked the listener, to send in audio contributions. I understand you're not very well there in the monkey house. That things are going, there's something going around amongst you. A bit like Outbreak, I suppose. I thought, well, I'm picking up my comics today. I'll see if I can find something to say about them. And I said this to Nick on Twitter. I said, I'll have a little go at recording something. And part of what I thought I could do that is because I thought Incognito was out today. And I've been looking forward to that for a long time. I really like that comic. I thought, here we go. That'll be something guaranteed to be able to find something to say about that. Well, it's not out today. Or if it is, my comic shop hasn't got it. So that was a bust. So then I thought, well, what can I talk about then? And I was thinking, well, I could plug Particle Fiction, but, you already do a much better job of that than I possibly could, so I can't really do that. And then I thought, oh, well, there's this Amnesty comic project that you were talking about the other day, but I had a meeting with Amnesty yesterday, with their publishing people, and it's definitely happening, and here is the full sum total of what I can tell you about that project right now. There you go, that was all of it. So, what else can I talk about? Well, I did get some comics. I got a little stack of comics. Four comics. I did consider buying Clint, but I decided not to. The less said about that, probably the better. What I did get, I got Casanova. Now, I can't really talk about this, issue 3 of Casanova, because I've read issue 1 when it originally came out. I never bought issue 2. I waited for the trade and then didn't buy the trade. I've bought issues 1 and 2. I've got all of the current run, but they're kind of just piling up. I got halfway through rereading issue 1, and it's... I need time to read this, and time is not something I have a great deal of at the moment, so I can't talk about that. I bought Batman Brave and the Bold, because I like the look of it. Not actually read it. It appears to have Mogo in it from Green Lantern. I'm not sure. It looks like Mogo, like a cartoony version of Mogo. It looks very good. It's got Green Lantern. I'm sure that will be fantastic. But I've got Batman Detective Comics, which I've been reading. I've been really enjoying the current story arc by Scott McDaniel and Dave Hine. Partly because I just really like Scott McDaniel's art, and partly because it's just a solid Batman story. It's not some big, crazy, continuity-affecting event. It's not, something with huge ramifications. It's just a good story. But I've not got round to reading this issue yet. What I have read, and what I will quickly talk about, is Frankencastle, issue 21. This is, I don't like that they changed the title. It's The Punisher, issue 21, by Rick Remender, or Remender, or something. And this issue's got art by Dan Brereton, and it's the last issue in this run. And, the first thing you need to know about it is the art is by Dan Brereton. If you're familiar with him, that should make you pretty excited. He's an amazing painter. He paints his comics. So I don't know what medium he uses. It looks that sometimes it looks quite watercolour. Sometimes it looks like it could be more like, it's probably like a combination of watercolour and acrylic. Anyway, sorry, that's not terribly important, is it? It's beautiful. That's what you need to know. And this issue is Punisher on Monster Island, and it guest stars Elsa Bloodstone from Next Wave. I'm not sure there's anything more I need to tell you about that, or anything more I could tell you about that to get across how awesome it is. And I use that word appropriately, I think. Here's a little rant of mine. I get very annoyed at people are very derisive of the word awesome nowadays. There is an assumption that people using it don't know what it means. This comic inspires a feeling of wonder and amazement of the magic of it in me, a sense of awe. It is awesome. So I recommend that. It's the last issue, so you won't have to buy any more. It's very good. It's very good. It also has an epilogue story that very much harkens back to the early days of Punisher's own title, when it was being written by Mike Baron and filled with casually racist stereotypes of the people of New York City. And it continues that tradition. I was going to say admirably. I'm not sure that's the right word. But, you know, it's very good. It's excellent comic. So, yeah, there's something. I managed to talk about something. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sure you're just thrilled. I'm sure everybody listening to this is, you know, their days have been truly brightened by hearing a fat, hairy man talk bollocks about comics. I think I'm going to go in the other room and cry for a little bit. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys in Leeds, very much indeed, and getting insanely drunk with you. I just remembered one more thing I did want to bring up. When I was on the show, this bothers me terribly, I said three things that I got wrong. This is my errata. This is my correcting my mistakes, because it just, I'm sure nobody else gives the slightest bit of a shit, but it really bugs me knowing that I said three individual things that were wrong. First of all, Richard Elson, the artist who is no longer drawing Thor but was at the time, I said that he started working at Marvel Comics. That's bollocks. I had him mixed up with an artist named Andrew Curry. I don't know how, but somehow in my head the two had been elided. He did start at 2000 AD. The second thing, I most unfairly misattributed the Judge Dredd mega epic Inferno to Garth Ennis. It wasn't Garth Ennis. It was, wait for it, Mark Miller. I would refer you back to episode 41 and my evaluation of that series. And I don't wish to make much more comment than that. And the third thing, what was the third thing? Oh, Jesus, what was the third thing? Oh, bloody hell. Oh, Jesus, what was it?
Momcast, are you there? It's me, Max Barnard. I hear Nick said something like, you're all sickening, which I thought was very mean of him. I'm sure you're all lovely. But he asked if anyone could record some last-minute contributions to make everything more pleasant. And, it was very self-deprecating to a lot of you, but there you go. So, here's a piece of me talking about comics. Let's talk about women. The first thing I want to talk about is the new Women of Marvel one-shot, Valkyrie, by Brian Glass and Phil Winslade. I can't say that I know anything about Valkyrie outside of the fact that she's a Norse hero and almost taught girls at Avengers Academy about the benefits of mead and sex toys. So to say I was going to this blind is an understatement. Thankfully, it's a very well written and quite pretty too. So I wasn't crippled by my lack of knowledge. Anyway, the story covers how Valkyrie came back from the semi-death of Ragnarok that got rid of all the Asgardians some years back, alongside reintroducing us to the character and setting up her status quo prior to her recent joining of the Secret Avengers. This is all told to us through a half-murder mystery, half-Valkyrie hitting things with a sword, and I love it! It gives us a little bit of everything, it doesn't overwhelm you, and like some of the other Woman of Marvel one-shots, it kind of encapsulates everything about the character, and I heartily recommend it. You really can't miss out on this one. The other thing I want to talk about is the hardcover release of the Women of Marvel weekly series Herald by Catherine Immonen, Tonsi Zonjic, James Harren, and Emma Rios. And gee golly gosh, is this a comic deserving of a beautiful hardcover release? I don't know if any of you read Herald when it was coming out, and looking at the sales figures of the issues, I don't think anyone really did. Herald was a great five-issue mini following Hellcat, Emma Frost, She-Hulk, Monica Rambeau, and Abigail Brand as they celebrate Emma's birthday, and crazy stuff happens. The latter is kind of the more important of the plot points, as one of Galactus' former heralds seems to return from the dead, Frankie Ray, the herald formerly known as Nova. Not just that, but she's returned as two people, it seems, which is all very confusing. But I won't talk about the plot too much. It's good, it's Catherine Immonen, and, you know, she does good writing, and that's all that matters. Instead, I'll just gab off about the art. I mean, Tonsi Zonjic and Emma Rios are two of my favourite artists, both having drawn some of the most beautiful work Marvel's put out in recent history, and here is no exception. It's stunning stuff that makes every page either of them do a pleasure to behold. I can't sing the praises of those two enough. The only real problem in the art is that James Harren, whilst who does very good art, is just kind of a bit off in some way compared to the expressive art of the others. I mean, it's expressive, but it looks incredibly different to the other two with their clean lines, as he's a bit of a more sketchy artist. But I can forgive that, because all three are very beautiful and they put together a great product that anyone should enjoy. And not just that, but this is a comic where Hellcat punches a fake Albert Einstein. And isn't that all we truly need in life? No? Anyway, I best cut this off here. I'm babbling like a loon and you guys have a show to do. Hopefully you'll become less sickening soon. Bye!
Thanks for that, David. Thanks, Max. That's brilliant.
That was excellent.
That was terrific.
That was some of the best words said in the best way I've ever heard.
Yeah. James said, it's better than cough medicine. Yeah. It's making us feel better.
Oh,
cough medicine on my soul.
Yes.
I think it's great the way David says stuff. And I certainly think it's pretty awesome the way Max says stuff as well.
Max is
very funny. Is that the same David Wynne that's having Particle Fiction Volume 1 published through Orangutan Press in October?
I actually wanted to talk about that. Should we talk about that in our news? I think he mentions it a little bit in his thing. But we should talk about stuff that's happened this week. As James pointed out earlier on, somebody died today.
Yeah.
Who was it, James?
It was Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis.
Richard. Stop Tony. Saying Richard. Tony Curtis.
Don't
Tony
be mean.
Curtis died. It was another one of those situations where I really liked any of the films I've seen Tony Curtis in, but it was another one of those situations where I felt like I thought he'd already died. So it was a little bit weird hearing that. And as someone online said, I can't remember who, but someone on Twitter said, it's times like this where I always go and check to see if Ernest Borgnine's still alive.
Jane,
he is.
Jane, you shouldn't be too upset. He'd lived a very long life and he'd been very, very successful.
He did.
He had been.
But my mum will be sad.
And he'd burnt through six marriages, which I think is absolutely top performing marriage leaving.
Marriage leaving.
Yes.
See, I don't understand how anyone can believe we're struggling here. It's obvious it's all script.
Yes.
Do you know what threw me was I was stuck on the sofa yesterday. I couldn't leave, and the One Show was on.
And Joel
Brandreth did a piece about verbal cliches, and now I'm really concerned about what I'm saying, and I'm actually listening to what I'm saying more carefully than normal, to be honest with you, at the end of the day.
But he's just a pedant, though, isn't he? Is that the right word?
I think
he is.
It's similar to the word I think of when I see and hear it.
He's, I think, yes, okay. You can overdo the little, but they're not really cliches so much as verbal tics.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of placeholders when we're not entirely sure what we've just said or what we're going to say next. We're not that confident about it.
I was talking to James about this the other day, weren't we? We were talking about and like.
Hmm.
There's an article on the BBC website saying how like, people are getting annoyed about how like is used so much, but it's just a filler. But because it's a word, people have to process it in a sentence. That's why I find it more irritating than because I understand is a pause. So, sorry. Actually,
no. No, I think, I mean, I know that when I'm sitting around with people, sometimes, especially if the conversation's really, like, fast-pitched, and it might be difficult for anyone listening to this, or even necessarily, you know, even possibly for people who know me, to believe this, but sometimes I do find that the people I know talk, like, a lot and over each other, that we're all quite outspoken, and sometimes I'll find myself... I know I've got something to say. I haven't quite formulated it yet, but I'll say or something.
Yeah.
Just as a way of trying to clear a space for me to actually say something. So I think we all do them quite a lot, and it takes a very confident... Someone has to be very certain of what they're going to say to not use them. I think what bothers me is when managers or estate agents, those sorts of people... use them, because they say everything in a really cocky way, and it's all at the end of the day, you know, bleh. And you just know that everything they've told you before and after it is bullshit.
Yeah
it's become shorthand in my mind for someone trying to give extra validity to what they're saying. But you know, some of us are just neurotic. When James says to be honest with you, I don't think he's trying to con us into thinking anything. I think he's just...
It's just my tiny little brain trying to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're just a bit nervy, aren't you?
I am nervy. I live on
my nerves.
You're
just a bit of a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
So Tony Curtis died. Not Tony Robinson or Richard Curtis.
Not Richard Curtis, apparently.
David, as you pointed out, he's announced that... I don't know, has he actually given a release date? He's actually given a formally mentioned that he's going to be... having Particle Fiction, the book, coming out.
It's already out, I think.
No, it's out in October. Oh. Let's have a look at the press release he sent us.
I've not got the press release. What I do have is I've got the iPad from work, and I've got it on there because he sent us a preview of it.
He did.
And as nice as this stuff looked, I don't know if he's cleaned up the art or if it's just looking at it on an iPad that's making all the difference. But it's pretty gorgeous. And each individual issue of Particle Fiction has been so good as we've been reading them, but seeing them all collected together, it's just even more of an impressive feat in it.
Yeah. This October, my new book, Particle Fiction Volume 1, is available from Orangutan Comics, collecting the first 6 months of my webcomic Particle Fiction. Attached is a press release and some preview images. I'm just picking it up from our email.
Oh, bless him.
I thought today was October, but it's not, is it?
No, the whole of October.
Yeah, just today is October. Get us closer to Christmas then.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to getting our hands on it when we go up to Leeds, don't
yes.
we? So, I want to get a little sketch in mind in that, if you're doing it. You might not
when you say it, do you mean Park Fiction or are you talking about David?
No, I mean the book.
And you get David to sign your chest, aren't you, James?
And then I'm going to have it tattooed.
Yeah, and you're going to be dressed as a cheerleader.
Yes, I may well be.
Why don't you get him to tattoo it? That'd be... Because it'd be his first time, I'm guessing. That'd be, like, extra valuable when he makes it big.
I could get an ideas man done on my back or something.
Do you know what, though? I was joking then. But, yeah, it's... I think his style would actually be quite nice for, like, some nice, bold... like... bold line work on
totally.
I really like solid black tattoos. I haven't got any. I always wanted to get a Duncan Figredo lizard tattooed on me, but the moment passed and now my skin's too flabby.
That's not true. I've got tattoos and they look lovely and taut. And no, maybe.
But what if you lost weight suddenly?
There's no chance of that.
You've got
happening.
A wasting disease or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, well, you know, that might happen, but then I think my saggy tattoos would be the least of my worries then, wouldn't they?
Saggy tattoos.
Sexy.
Yes.
Was there any other news, James? You're good at... You're the gatekeeper for all of the news.
I noticed something.
Oh, go on, Jane. Well done.
People from Vertigo are getting fired.
What, when? What, which people?
A couple of editors have been fired. I've noticed it on Twitter. A couple of the comic guys that I follow have been a bit sad and a bit annoyed. So I think the cleansing hasn't finished yet.
You can hear me typing in the background constantly as I search for that.
No. Just, this was through Twitter, but they were reliable sources. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I think, because I thought Vertigo was relatively successful, but as was pointed out to me, if you need to make money, you're going to make cuts everywhere.
Yeah.
So, it might be a bit of a watch this space. I think a couple of titles might go from Vertigo soon, which is quite worrying, because Vertigo is, I do really like Vertigo titles that are out at the moment, so.
I don't know which. It says it's Joan Hilty, Pornsack, Pitchett, Choate, and Jonathan Vankin. I'm really sorry if Mr. or Mrs. Pornsack, Pitchett, Choate.
Mr. or Mrs. Pornsack.
On the one hand, you've been laid off, and on the other, I've just completely messed up your surname and first name. And on the other, the guys are laughing at it. So I'm sorry about that. But no, it's possible that this isn't, it might not be part of the same drivers. It's easy to draw a line between this and the Wildstorm thing. But I don't know how autonomous the different parts of DC might be. You're right, though. If they're making cuts in one place, they might be making it in another. Actually, looking at it, Pitchett show. Apparently edited such titles as The Unwritten, Sweet Tooth, and Joe the Barbarian. Mm. So I just completely ganked that from the Comic Book Resources website. We should credit them for that. I just read it off their site.
Thank you, so, CBR.
Thank you, CBR.
Talking of CBR, there is some other news.
Oh, yeah. This is what I was hoping you'd remember.
Yeah, I had remembered. Sometime contributor, Renaissance man, an all-round Aussie. Ryan, his partner, gave birth to Parker, didn't she, in the last few days. So
congratulations, Ryan.
Yeah, congratulations, dude.
That is such a good name. Congratulations, Ryan. You're awesome. Your partner's more awesome. She gave a baby.
Yes.
To the world.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Are you guys finding that it's a little bit abstract because I'm wearing headphones? I'm pretty sure there's stuff going on in my house and out on the street, but I can't hear it properly.
Yeah, I'm the same. The little green bar thing keeps having one bar even when I'm not saying anything. And I'm wondering what you can hear.
Your slave's probably in the background muttering stuff, but you don't know he's even there. Probably.
He's muffling out the noise of my crying daughter quite nicely, actually.
Oh. You sure you didn't just stick her in a cupboard?
No, she's with her mummy.
I don't know if that's official. My apparently I'm going to have a new nephew or niece at some point in the next 6 to 7 months or something like that. That's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
congratulations.
Cool.
But that doesn't take away from Ryan's Parker. No. That is such a good name for
that
a baby.
Is a good name.
It's going to be quite a good name for a grown up as well.
Parker Lindsay. That's quite cool.
That's a very cool name.
Although, that is two first names. I'm never sure you can really trust someone with two first names.
Could be worse. Could be called Hunter Baker.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from?
Because I had an ex-colleague of mine in James's was going to call her child Hunter, and her surname was Baker. And people were trying to discreetly discourage her from doing this. And she didn't in the end, so that's good. But yeah, she was very set on Hunter Baker. That kid would not have lasted at school.
Hunter is one of those names you only give your... It's the only kid that can live up to that sort of a name is one with a really square jaw and a fake tan that's going to be in an American soap opera, probably set in a hospital.
Yeah.
It's not a good name, is
it?
No. Apologies to any of our listeners.
Hunter on its own with a surname that isn't another trade would be good, but Hunter Baker just so literal, isn't it?
Are you two finished alienating people yet? Or?
No, I'm ill. I've got a lot of,
She's got a lot of bile to get out of her.
Yes. Well done, Ryan, for making a baby.
Yeah, well done, dude. I think that's all the news I had. Obviously, we've spoken about Matt being in the UK. Ryan had a baby. Yeah, I know. I think that's it, isn't it?
Very little of this, except for Jane is the only one who's actually provided some actual comic news that isn't immediately related to our listener base.
Oh, and Geek Syndicate are 4 years old.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
Well, happy
that
birthday.
Would have been dumb to forget that. Yeah, happy birthday to Geek
happy
Syndicate.
Happy birthday to the Geek Syndicate.
It made me laugh a little bit when I saw, because I only really picked up on it. I know you guys had spoken about it, Nick, a couple of weeks ago, but only really registered today when... I think it's Nuge, isn't it, that was tweeting about it today. It makes me giggle a bit that we were quite self-congratulatory at reaching a year. They've done four. That's quite immense. I was very impressed.
And they hated each other to begin with.
Absolutely. Whereas the enmity's just grown between us three, isn't it?
Yeah, I think each one we start out a little bit annoyed with each other, and then we get to a point where we really love each other about 10 minutes in, and then that kind of degrades away over the course of the episode.
Yeah,
it's like getting drunk but without drinking.
Yeah, it is. That could be our tagline.
Yeah,
Mumcast. It's like getting drunk but without drinking.
Yeah.
I think, not wanting to jump the gun, but I think what we can do at this point. See, now I'm coughing as well. This is rubbish. Is we can listen to, we and the listener can listen to two more of our friends.
Yay! These are new. We haven't heard them before. Like, heard them speak before, other than on Twitter.
We'll announce them, and we haven't had a chance to listen to them, so the audio, but it might be rubbish.
I doubt it will be.
So if we'll stop in a second to listen to that, and then afterwards we'll pretend that it was really good, because it probably will be really good, but we'll pretend we're just listen to it. How does that sound?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but yeah.
Thanks for going along with me on this, guys.
Okay.
So here's John Scrivens and George Beedham with their contributions.
Hello, I'm Key on My Back podcast. John Scrivens here. I'm sorry to hear you've all come down with the T-virus or some other nerdy fictional illness, so I just thought I'd record a little message to say get well soon, and I look forward to getting horrifically drunk with you all at Thought Bubble.
Hi Momcast, this is George Beedham here. Some of you know me from my webcomic, The Mighty Jambo, which can be found at notregret.com/Jambo. I'd like to talk to you tonight about The Flash, written by Geoff Johns with art by Francis Manapole. That sigh you just heard was David Wynne realising I'm not going to talk about Green Lantern. Anyway, this is John's back on the book that he won a Wizard Breakout Talent Award for back in 2003, and say what you like about the guy and his insistence on replacing perfectly good heroes with predecessors, the man can write Flash stories like nobody else. There are some awesome set pieces in this book, like one where the Flash dismantles a car falling towards a kid or rebuilds a toppling building while retrieving a little girl's doll. And these are made all the more charming by Manapole's art. I'm a little surprised DC have let someone with such a distinct style loose on a major character, but thank God they did, because it looks brilliant. Unlike Ethan Van Shiver, who drew a book called The Flash Rebirth, where it looked like everyone was stood still for 6 issues, Manapole gives you a real sense of motion with his work. The whole thing's worth a read for the art alone. The story's not bad either, though. It's Barry Allen facing charges of a murder he's not committed yet. By that era's super cops, the Renegades, who modelled themselves on the Rogues from this era in order to beat the Reverse Flash from that era. Time travel's fun, isn't it? Anyway, it's a good read. My only complaint is, why bring back Barry? John's wrote the hell out of Wally West for ages, and it just seems unnecessary to relegate a guy who learned to be a better Flash than Barry ever was to the sidelines. That might just be me still being bitter about them killing off Bart Allen, which at least John's fixed in Legion of Three Worlds. It's still early in the series, we're only 5 issues in, and despite my complaints, it's a fantastic read and I look forward to it each month. You should definitely pick it up. I could waffle on forever about this, but I won't. Hooray! I'll see you guys in Leeds in November. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks guys.
Oh, thank you. Brilliant. Cheers guys.
Good.
God, we're like professionals. This is amazing. I have no idea what they talked about though.
I like the bit where they came up with the cure for cancer and the end of poverty. That was my favourite bit.
Who would have known George was king of the world as well?
Nice, incredible, isn't it? Congratulations on being king of the world, man.
Well done. I know.
I can't believe John spoiled The Sixth Sense. I have seen that film, but I'd forgotten what happened. And
oh, isn't that the one where they're all monkeys at the end?
Yes.
You're all monkeys at the end.
Right.
I was going to spotlight Alias, and then I decided that I wasn't going to spotlight that. I was going to spotlight Stormwatch instead, but I can't find my graphic novels for Stormwatch, which is lame ass. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to very briefly talk about Queen and Country, because if anybody hasn't read it, they should have by now. I'm kind of just tromping straight in there again. Are you guys all right with that? I don't know if you're sitting there with stunned expressions on your faces.
I'm looking at a packet of party rings, and I really want one.
What are party rings?
Biscuits.
Oh, are they the ones that are like a ring of biscuit, and they've got like icing on the top with little lines across it?
Yep, they're the ones.
I love those.
I'm fine because I've got a glove puppet giraffe that I've been using as an avatar for both of you while you speak. So every time one of you speaks, I just pretend it's the giraffe speaking to me. If you go on my Twitter feed, you can see a couple of pictures of it.
Oh no! Do you know what? That's the first sign of madness, James.
What's that? What's that, Mrs. Giraffe?
I like the fact that on Skype, when one of us talks, James had to point this out to me, but when one of us talks, our little picture pulses. But in my case, James is a little pair of shoulders with a question mark in the shape of a head, which kind of makes him look like either a superhero or a supervillain.
And
I'm not sure.
I'm a boy.
You're a pulsating boy.
Yeah.
You are a boy who's really pointing.
Yeah, really pointing at you. I'm not pulsating. The green bar goes up and down. Is that what you mean?
You don't pulsate when it's you talking. You're pulsating in our window.
You're pulsating right now, Nick.
Neither of you are pulsating in my window.
No?
No.
Even when I'm talking now?
No, the green bar goes up and down, but it doesn't pulse at me.
You're on an Apple Macintosh, aren't you?
Yes.
Maybe that's different.
Maybe.
I'm just doing a quick, because I'm suffering from this paranoia that I've done one of the Queen and Country graphic novels before on a Momcast.
No, you haven't.
I just did a quick Google, Momcast Queen and Country, and it said, did you mean Bombcast Queen and Country? And do you know what that means? That means there's a thing called Bombcast. I need to find out what that is just while we're talking here. Giant Bombs Gaming Podcast. I might listen to that.
Yeah,
they've almost got the same name as us.
Sounds better than ours already, doesn't it?
James, Bombcast. I'm not a crying giraffe.
Here you are.
What the hell is going on?
When you were doing the news from the about the vertigo things, the giraffe was doing the crying thing.
I need to see this.
You know how cute.
You
know how glove puppets, and they pull their hands to the side of their heads, don't they? And that's what it was doing when Jane was talking about vertigo.
Our puppy always reminds me of Sweep.
Yes.
From Sooty and Sweep. In that she's always doing stuff, but Sooty always does more naughty stuff because he's more intelligent, and then blames it on Sweep because basically Sooty's an asshole.
See, she reminds me of Sweet because she lusts after a talking panda.
Have I mentioned that she started humping blankets and stuff?
Yeah.
It's very weird. Right. So.
I need to stop looking at Twitter.
How do people, there are other people who do their podcasts over Skype all the time. How do they concentrate on
it? James has started this because there's a response, James, to one of your,
The nude shot, I've already seen it.
Yeah, that was good.
I kept quiet about it because I was able to be professional.
Are people just generally more professional than us? Is that what that's
about? Like,
that seems really difficult to believe.
I'm pointing the finger pretty squarely at Jane, actually.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it, that's why.
Okay.
I put the phone away.
Anyway, so Queen and Country. Now, this is an interesting one because it's a book that came out from Oni Press. Oh, it must be years ago now. I should just try and find out how long ago. But the reason it's a bit peculiar is I suspect that the particular March 2002, that's right. The book I am looking at is a standard comic Dimensions one, collecting the first four issues of Queen and Country. It's called Operation Broken Ground, and it's possible that you can't actually get this book in this format anymore. I don't know if a little bit more recently that Oni Press have started collecting these in smaller size but bigger collection formats. So you might not actually still be able to get Operation Broken Ground on its own in one book, which will make this half a spotlight. Oh,
sorry. Whiny.
Which will make this essentially half a spotlight for anyone going and trying to find this book now. That's possibly not very interesting if it turns out you can still get hold of this. It's basically, I've talked about Greg Rucka before. I know that we all, those of us who read it, really liked his Detective Comics run, and have enjoyed quite a lot of the stuff he's done over the years. He's been one of my favourite novelists and writers since I read one of his books, probably in the late 90s. And Queen and Country is his book about espionage, more specifically British espionage. It follows a female spy called Tara Chase, who works for the Special Section of the Ministry of Intelligence, and basically, which is a bit peculiar because Greg Rucka is American, so you'd kind of expect him writing a story pretty much all British to be a bit wonky, but he gets all of the voices and all of the details right. One of the things that his books have always been pretty strong for is that he does a lot of research, but he manages to weave the research really effortlessly into what he's doing. So it all feels authentic. I mean, I don't really know, to be honest. I've never been a spy. It's very unlikely I'm ever going to get to visit any of the places, the Special Section or SIS or whatever, but I suspect this is closer to how it works than Spooks. It's just my basic feeling, because
okay.
I've always felt that Spooks is a little bit, you know,
not real,
faffy and superficial. Might just be me. I know a lot of people really enjoy it, but yeah. So Tara Chase is she is attractive. All of the pictures of her do make her are quite attractive, but in a very sort of a hard-bitten way. She's kind of from a bit of a socialite background, and she's chosen to work, I think, when she doesn't really need to have. But there's no real gloss to the story. What happens is at the beginning of the story, she is ordered to commit an assassination, and she does it, but the in Kosovo. I think she does it. She manages to pull it off, but the extraction sort of goes a little bit pear-shaped and is a bit more messy than she might have hoped. So although she does get out, basically, I think the allies of the guy she assassinates work out who it was who did it and come to London and start making a mess, trying to draw her out. And I'm not going to say too much more about the story, mainly because it's been a little while since I've read it, and also because a lot of the joy of this book is the way the story unfolds. It's not like all twists and turns. It's not a Bourne Identity style movie, but there's lots of character and lots of neat little things that happen as a result of the way the characters act, rather than because Greg Rucka needs a particular plot twist to happen. What's really interesting, though, about it is the interaction between Tara Chase and her colleagues. Tara herself is pretty broken. It's unclear in this book whether it's whether she came to the job broken or it's something that's happened over the years. She drinks too much. She doesn't necessarily look after herself particularly well, and she is a little bit... she's not really reckless. She's very good at a job, but I think her colleagues do sometimes worry about her. And so But the cool thing about this is, rather than, because she's the hero, if you want to call it a hero, of the book, you'd expect for most books to totally focus on her, but actually the cast around her are given just as much time and they all feel just as real. One particular standout is Paul Crocker, who is her immediate superior, and who is a hard-smoking, well, basically a hard-ass who obviously cares an awful lot about his team, and will defend them against the authorities, who are never happy with anything they do, but doesn't ever really show. But he has to be fairly sort of ruthless with them as well. You know, he's basically, it's what you're getting is a real sense that he has to send them out to do the most horrible things, and he's perfectly capable of it. You know, he knows that sometimes he's going to have to sacrifice some of these people, even if he does care about them. And so there's him, and there's Tom Wallace, who is one of her immediate colleagues, and Edward Kittering, who is another one of her immediate. They're like the three main minders. I think the way it pans out is there's always a team of three minders, which is the name of their job, basically. Nothing to do with the TV series of the same name, starring Dennis Waterman and... And what's his name, the old guy? You should be able to help me with this, James. Are you still there?
Hey, Arthur Daly.
Arthur Daly, that's it. Starring Dennis Waterman and Arthur Daly.
Arthur Daly is, I can't remember who played him now.
George Cole,
that's it.
That's
it, well done.
But it's nothing to do with, it's right, nothing to do with them.
Write the theme tune, sing the theme tune, I believe.
their job is... You were just thinking about a comedy skit, weren't you?
I was.
About Dennis Waterman.
Yeah, which worryingly, actually... Dennis Waterman, you were at my place, Jane, and a continuity announcer made the same joke when announcing Dennis Waterman on a show on the telly the other day.
Yeah.
The new Tricks.
And I think it was that awful programme that you watched yesterday it was on.
Yeah,
New Tricks?
Like, yeah, he was pimping New Tricks.
Oh, blimey, I just really knocked my microphone, sorry about
that.
Yeah,
he just blew my ears out.
But yeah, over the there were a few volumes of Queen and Country before it made a transition into novels, which is where Greg Rucker's writing about Tara Chase now. There are always three minders, but they're not always these three minders. I can't really go into any more detail about it than that. But it's not one of those jobs that has a really long life expectancy, and Tara Chase has been doing it for quite a while. The problem with this story is that. Their particular team aren't supposed to operate on British soil. I think that's where the issue happens. So when the Russians come after her on in England, she's not supposed to do anything about it, basically. And her team aren't supposed to support her, or she's not really allowed to have a gun when wandering around London. So basically you see how Tara has to be pretty resourceful and sort things out for herself, really. It's the art is by Steve Rolston, and I think this was the first time I saw his art. And it's peculiar because Steve Rolston's got a really cartoony line, and it shouldn't really work for something that requires as much detail and authenticity as this, but also something that's as dark as this story gets sometimes. But he just nails it. The amount of detail he puts into everything is brilliant. His the acting on his characters is just great. It's one of those things, the best thing I can say about a comic, the best thing I think anyone can say about a comic or a film or anything, is that you kind of forget, because Greg Rucker's so good with the writing and Steve Rolston does such a good job with the storytelling, you kind of forget you're reading. And you just kind of experience the story with very few filters. It's just great, basically. they change artists with each run on this as well. I think later series were done by Jason Alexander, and there's a lady called Carla Speed McNeil who's brilliant. And basically every artist who's worked on Queen and Country has been absolutely brilliant. Most of them have been slightly more realistic than Steve Rolston's work. But if you can get hold of it, Queen and Country, Operation Broken Ground by Greg Rucker and Steve Rolston, is just great. I can recommend all the Queen and Country stuff, though. There's a really nice Tim Sale cover on the front as well.
Aww.
Lovely.
So, and Tim sells ever so good. Yeah. There, you see, that's not bad. I did that almost entirely from memory, which
that's
is why
really
I was a little
good.
Bit late.
Well,
you guys have been writing. You guys have been writing notes and everything for the last few, and I really flustered on that.
Yeah, you're really.
But yeah,
good.
So it's really. I mean, it's really easy to. It's always really easy to spotlight a Greg Rucker book, anyway, because I mean, he's just such a good writer, and when he's working on his own stuff, he's just, you know, just completely unfiltered, awesome. I love him. So that's that.
Yay.
Queen Country, Operation Broken Ground. Go get it from Oni Press.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I think that's it. Yeah. Do we know what we're doing for the rest of the week?
I'm going to be making a giant birthday card for the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Google today.
Mm.
Were there actually any episodes where Fred Flintstone actually beat his wife? Because it was that sort of era when what was going on in these sitcoms.
It was always off camera.
Yeah.
Was it? Did he use like a golf club made out of an ostrich or something?
No, it's one of the caveman clubs, wasn't it?
Were they, what? Oh, the caveman, oh yeah, I suppose they had those as well. The Flintstones and the Jetsons as well I was thinking about this earlier on. You can probably hear my dog going mental in the background. Yeah. I don't know exactly what's happened. It's possible that my earphones aren't picking up. My wife might be shouting at her to shut up as well. I don't know about that. She beats them. It's terrible.
I can actually hear her doing
it. I can hear the dog. I can't hear beating. I think you're lying.
I might be lying about that. she just looks at them very sternly.
That's good.
And no, that's actually me I'm talking about.
Oh.
But yeah, the Flintstones and the Jetsons, like, I've actually talked to Jane's slave about this a couple of times as well. So she's going absolutely mental, isn't she? It's because there's dodgy people outside. The DreamWorks animated films, the CGI ones.
Yeah.
And the Pixar ones, there's a massive difference in quality between the two of them. And I think what it is that the DreamWorks ones are kind of like the Flintstones and the Jetsons, in that what they do is they take this peculiar situation, but then they find some way of just making it like a normal sitcom about normal things. Mm. So the Pixar guys will do a film about bugs. That, you know, that talk and walk and stuff, but they'll behave like bugs, whereas the DreamWorks guys will do a film about bugs and they'll have like psychiatrists and they'll work out a way to have cars. And, yeah, they have. It's basically like the Flintstones. The Flintstones don't behave like cavemen; they behave like 1950s men and women.
Where's the empirical proof that they don't?
What, that cavemen didn't behave like that?
Yeah.
Well, cavemen and dinosaurs didn't coexist, did they?
Prove it.
Well, I can't prove it right now, James. I don't have my books here. I keep them in all of the libraries around the world.
For other books people to learn.
Books won't do you no good.
Is my dog still barking?
Yeah.
It's possible that we're being home invaded. So if I cut off suddenly... that's because somebody's come into the room, but I don't know what's going on because I've got my earphones on. Okay, just so there's... tell the police that that's going on when you hear this podcast.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, I'll probably just make my tea.
Yeah.
Have you not had your tea yet, James?
I've not had my tea.
I haven't.
It's like nearly 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I know, but I was looking after Scarlett right up until I started talking to you.
All right, okay. Well, so that's what I can't remember. You're sure going to be doing the Shrine to the Flintstones or something?
A big card, yeah.
Big card. What are you going to be doing, Jane?
I'm going to sleep and read more comics that aren't mine.
You don't need to sort out the hotel, though, because you've done that already, haven't you?
Yes, of course.
Okay, cool. And I think I'm going to go and spend the next 7 years of my life editing this together.
Yes.
Oh, dude, yeah, sorry.
Thank
actually,
you,
I've got the house to myself this weekend, so that's well, not to myself. The dogs are still going to be here, so I'm basically going to be cleaning up puppy wee for the whole weekend.
Lovely.
Is that a euphemism?
No, no, that's... Oh, I know what you're suggesting.
That's a...
But no.
Yeah.
I know what James is suggesting. James is thinking, your wife's away, Nick. You're going to be doing filthy things with yourself. You're going to be practicing onanism.
Well, you
isn't that what you're thinking, James?
I am thinking that. Yes.
He's now imagining it.
Yeah, it's a nice thought. It's making me feel a bit giddy.
Oh. That's cool. I wasn't naked when this podcast started, but around the midway point, I took the opportunity, while we were listening to those pieces from other people, to strip off a little bit.
Good.
So I might have already started, is what I'm saying, James.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, nism.
We should probably go now, then.
Yeah, we should. Thank you for persevering with us,
yes.
Being all over the place, listener. Yeah, you're awesome.
Back to normal next week, eh?
Yeah, you guys are awesome too.
Thank you.
I hope you're back here next week.
I hope so too. I don't really want this to go on for any longer.
No.
No. Okay. What, this particular podcast or being sick?
Being ill.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say goodbye to you guys now then.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I was up in the morning with the TV blaring, brush my teeth, sitting, watching the news. All the beaches were closed, the ocean was a red sea, but there was no one there to part it in two. There was no fresh salad, cause there's hypers in the cabbage, Staten Island disappeared at noon. And they say the Midwest is in great distress, and NASA blew up the moon. The ozone layer has no ozone anymore, and you're gonna leave me for the guy next door. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Corden, gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. Said there were 400 dead in some small town in Arkansas. Some whacked out trucker drove into a nuclear reactor, killed everybody he saw. Now he's on Morton Downey and he's glowing and shiny. Doctors say this is a medical advance. They say the bad makes the good and there's something to be learned in every human experience. Well, I know one thing that really is true. This here's a zoo and the keeper ain't you, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. They ordained the Trumps and then he got the mumps and died being treated at Mount Sinai. And my best friend Bill died from a poison pill some wired doctor prescribed for stress. My arms and legs are shrunk, the food all has lumps. They discovered some animal no one's ever seen. It was an inside trader eating a rubber tire after running over Rudy Giuliani. They say the president's dead, no one can find his head. He's been missing now for weeks. But no one noticed it. He had seemed so fit. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. I'm so sick of you. Bye, bye, bye.